Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with June Whitfield, Alma Cogan, Wallace Eaton, and the Keynotes, all inviting you to...
Didn't you honestly see this chap, Jim, when the audience here were queuing up outside waiting to get in? Sort of wild-eyed, with sandals, an open-necked shirt, and a booming baritone voice.
Good heavens, Aunt Martha.
No, I'm positive it was a man. And definitely eccentric.
Eccentric?
Oh, verging on the Dulally. No doubt about it. Wouldn't buy one of my autograph photos.
What an intriguing character. Didn't you catch what he said?
Oh, something about... Blimey, that was taken a few years ago. But, Jim, I can't understand why you didn't see him.
Well, I was too busy in the bazaar.
Bazaar?
Well, a lot of listeners get offended if I pronounce it boozer.
Oh.
But I was in the bazaar.
Yes.
I've been one.
Yes.
Anyway, but... But look, Bentley, if this crank went in with the cue, it means he's somewhere in the studio now.
Yes, brothers, I am here.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, I am here to speak to you of the wonders of your body.
Well, that old thing?
Yes, brother. I am Joachim Higgins, president of the Anti-Meat League.
Oh, the Anti-Meat League. Yes. Oh, yes. You're the people who only eat herbs and dandelions and berries and...
Nuts.
If you like, though our word was eccentric.
Yes, brother, can I not bring you to the way of the Anti-Meat League? How can you devour the flesh of nature's creatures? That little furry beast in the field, he is your brother.
Oh, no, he's not. My brother's the big hairy one on the tractor.
Mock not, brother.
I'm
not
mocking.
Only is there nourishment, there is delight and fulfillment to be found in eating only that which grows in the ground. Forswear your raw steaks and your lamb chops. Give up your cut off the joint. Here, have a pamphlet.
No, thanks. I wouldn't know how to cook it.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Listen, this will tell you nature's way to the full of life. Think of the great men of history who did not gorge their beings on the flesh of beasts. Oliver Cromwell, the Earl of Monmouth, William of Orange.
And where are they now? All dead. Think of them, baby.
There are thousands more, I know. I spend my days steeped in a place of history with England's greatness all round me. The Tower of London.
The Tower of London? What do you do there?
I am a beef eater.
Oh, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you, Keynote. So to the grounds. Well, you may have heard that Ron and Eth's long-planned elopement did not take place, owing to Ron's father putting the ladder against the wrong house. This unfortunate error was a cruel blow to Eth, as we shall see when we go over to the grounds.
To talk about that.
About what, Ron?
Cooking my supper. I've only just had tea.
But I can't stand this continual putting off and putting off. I didn't sleep a wink last night worrying about it. I couldn't even go to bed.
Neither could I, Eth.
Oh, worry?
No, Eth. I caught my pajama tassel in the chest of drawers.
Oh, Ron, is there some curse on us too? It's not good for a girl's health to continually keep on not getting married. My nerves are in shreds.
Poor Eth. Why don't you take an Aladdin?
Aladdin? Oh, is that supposed to be better than aspirin?
I think so. There's a big poster outside the Hippodrome advertising it.
Oh, Ron, that's Aladdin.
Aladdin?
Yes, it's a thing for children.
Well, then, take two.
Oh, but Ron, it's the unfairness that upsets me.
But, Eth, we must keep trying. I'll never forget a story that Miss Donovan read to us when I was a mixed infant.
Well, what was the name of the story?
I've forgotten. It was about a spider, and this spider was called Bruson. Yes, I remember now. That was the name of the story. Bruson the spider.
Oh.
You see, Ed? This man was in a cave watching this spider, and it was trying to climb up to its webbing, but it kept slipping down.
Oh.
Yes. Every time it tried to climb up, it kept slipping down this strand it was trying to climb up. Yes.
Oh, dear. Well, what was the outcome?
I don't know, yes. I got sent out of the room for eating my plasticine. But Dad says the moral is, if at first you don't succeed, let's all go down the Strand.
Well, it's a thrilling story, Ron, but I don't honestly see where it applies to us.
Neither do I, eh?
Well, then why bring it up, beloved?
Ah.
But don't you see, Ron, we've reached a stage where we've got to do something positive. It's neck or nothing.
Right, oh, Eth.
Oh, no, Ron, I didn't mean
go on, Eth, just a kiss.
You know, you've had your chance.
No.
Hello, hello, hello. Well, that's one way to keep him warm. Shocking weather this, isn't it, eh, Eth?
Oh, yes.
I've just come in here to check up on the central heating. Ah, there it is, practically a full bottle. Can I pour either of you a drop? You both look a bit on the peaky side.
Oh, it's that fiasco with our elopement, Mr. Glum.
Oh, yes. Oh,
I'm beginning to feel the sub hoodoo.
And there's many who don't. Now, look here. Can I give you a little bit of fatherly, as I might say, advice?
Yes.
In a manner of speaking. After all, I'm an older man than you are, Eth. Now, look. The reason why you and Ron have this unhealthy anxiety to get married is because you're in each other's company too much. I suggest that you take your mind off the subject. Arrange things so that you don't see each other for a while.
You mean switch the light off?
know, my baby boy, I don't mean switch the flipping light off. That won't take your mind off the subject. I mean, get out and about a bit. Get out and about.
Out and about.
Out and about.
A bit.
Get out, that's what I said. Get out and about. Meet, don't switch the light off. Get out and about.
Yeah.
Meet brand new people. You know what I mean by brand new people.
Little babies.
Oh. Very wonderful, that is. No. I mean, join some club or society or one of them youth hostiles. Now, when I was your age, I used to spend evening after evening with a young lad's discussion group.
Oh, and what did you discuss?
Yes. What did we discuss? Let me think. Now, that won't take your mind off the subject either. I'll tell you what now. What about that local amateur dramatic society round the corner? Very good they are. What was that from? That play we went and saw them do last year on. We did laugh, did we? Oh, dear. It was every bit as funny as some of the stuff on the telly. Funny now. Come on, Ron, what was that play?
King Lear. Dad.
I'd never really appreciated Shakespeare till that bloke's wig come off. He's a card, that King Lear. Yes, that's the answer. That's what will take your mind off the subject. Now, I wonder what play they'll be doing next. Now, wait a minute. Mother will know. She's a bit of an intellectual type. Mother! She heard me. Here, you know that soft-looking bloke from the Dramatic Society who came round last week to borrow your white nighty to be Julius Caesar's tent? She remembers it. Did he mention what their next play will be? Oh, J.B. Priestley, eh? Well, that should take your mind off the subject.
Mr.
Clum. Oh, dear. When we are married.
If the sky can change from cloudy to butterfly weather, and the ocean roar becomes a lullaby, why, oh, why? Pardon, be my cherry pie. Oh, well, leopard can change its spots, and oil can water mix. But I have recently heard an old dog learn new tricks. If the icy winds that blast it in December can in April bring the blossoms to the vine. When the ocean roar becomes a lullaby, why, oh, why can't you love me? Have a change of heart and be my cherry pie. If an ugly duck becomes a swan of high degree, and the sweetest honey in the comb comes from the stingiest bee. If old Scrooge and Tiny Tim could get together for a Merry Christmas turkey that inside, why, oh, why can't you love me? The only one for me. Have a change of heart and be my Valentine.
sir. Three more brandies and soda, please. Say, Brinkley, seem to be an awful lot of films around dealing with the last war.
Yes, it is.
It's funny that nobody's filmed the story of the greatest and most ingenious wartime exploit of them all.
Huh? What was that?
This.
The year is 1942. Britain and her allies are engaged in a desperate struggle to conquer tyranny and make the world safe for commercial television. It is February the 13th, 5:29 p.m. Inside a heavily guarded office in Whitehall, a sober-faced group of men gathers round a young brigadier who is standing by an open door, gazing intently at his watch.
5 seconds to go. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Not all.
Before you can blink your eyes, they're all out of the building and on their way home. Yes, this department is the ultra-hush-hush directorate of war-winning devices. Next day, the young brigadier is back at his desk at the crack of noon.
All right, section officer. I'll see this fellow, Professor Boffin, first.
What do we know about him, section officer?
Well, if you remember, sir, he was the scientist who submitted that plan for totally immobilizing half the German Navy.
Oh, yes, I recall his suggestion. Pull the plug out of the North Sea. I remember we couldn't find it. But that's the sort of thinking we need. I'll see him right away, section officer. Straighten your attire and call him in.
Yes, sir. The brigadier will see you now, Professor.
Ah, good morning. Am I addressing Brigadier Upjohn?
Professor, that M.M. after my name is not pronounced like that. It's short for military medal.
I was actually referring to the lady.
Oh. Now, Professor, I have little time to waste. You wrote and told me you invented something of great value to our military forces. What is it?
Well, sir, I'll tell you in a nutshell. It's an inflatable rubber nappy.
An inflatable rubber nappy?
Yes, and I've brought a sample one along in my suitcase, sir. There you are, you see. I put it on the floor, attach the nozzle to the compressed air bottle, so. Now watch.
Good heavens.
Where?
There.
My goodness, it's 20 feet high and 80 feet long. And it's a real nappy?
You come inside it and see. You satisfied? Now I deflate it. You see, the air comes out quicker than it goes in.
Yes.
And now, hold it up and put it back in the suitcase. So.
Well, it's just what I've been looking for, Professor. I'm a man accustomed to making quick decisions. I'll give you 10 bob for it.
For the whole nappy?
No, the suitcase. I've got a 48 coming up. Larkin, I think this is the man we've been looking for. Professor, I'm going to take a chance on you. I want you to throw up everything else and help us with one of the most daring military exploits of the war. Operation Damp Roll-On.
Damp? Damp Roll-On?
It's a very difficult thing to pull off. Now. Professor, you're here. Now, this is Operation... Yes, I know that. Which of you, Professor, you are. Now, this is Operation Damp Roll-On. We intend to land a striking force of 20 commandos in occupied France.
And this is our problem. How can we get them to France without the Germans noticing their arrival?
Ah, yes. That is a poser, isn't it?
No,
let me think. No. Look, how about this? Every day, imperceptibly, 1 inch at a time, lengthen Brighton Pier. You see? You get it?
I see. So that without the Germans noticing, it would gradually stretch all the way to France?
Yes.
By cracky, that's a brilliant idea.
Oh, no. It's no use, Brigadier.
No use?
No, the War Office would never sanction the expense.
What expense?
Well, to go on Brighton Pier, it costs threepence per person.
Oh, nuts.
Professor Boffin took the problem back to his laboratory. 2 days later, we got a phone call.
Hello? Boffin here? I think I'm making headway. Please send me immediately 1,000 yards of steel hawser, 40 feet of wooden scaffolding, and one WAF instrument maker, experience in material.
All these were dispatched within 24 hours. The following day, another phone call.
Hello? Boffin here? I'm returning the hawser and the scaffolding. Please send me immediately a clean white shirt and a bottle of aftershave lotion.
2 days later, another phone call.
Hello? Boffin here? Please send me immediately 3 bottles of champagne, a box of chocolates, and a powder compact inscribed to Elsie from Hopeful.
These were dispatched immediately. At 11:30 that night, another phone call.
Hello? Your Boffin here. Please send me immediately 1 pound of raw steak for my eye, and also the name of a good lawyer. I am returning one experienced WAF instrument maker.
Well, Larkin, has he done it?
I think he's overdone it.
I hate this waiting. Time is no longer on our side. Look at this signal from Combined Ops HQ. Operation Damp Roll-On is to be mounted on the first full moon after Paper Aid.
Oh, sir, and we still don't know how we're going to get the troops across the channel.
I'll take it.
Boffin here. I found the device. I'm setting it up on the testing range now.
What? Where is the testing range?
You go down Oxford Street, turn right at Marble Arch, and then up the Edgware Road.
How far up?
Yorkshire. Come immediately.
In no time, a fast military car could be seen speeding through the narrow Yorkshire lane, blinds drawn down over all the windows.
Larkin, when I said blinds on all the windows, I didn't mean the windscreen as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Oh, but I think we're here. Isn't that Professor Boffin approaching?
It is indeed.
Oh, hello, Professor.
Sir. Hello.
Good to see you.
Well, who'd you think it was?
I knew it.
Well, how are you, Brigadier?
Fine,
sir. Miss Larkin. Well, now there it is. In that field there. That'll get your troops across the channel cheaply, swiftly, and secretly.
Why, it's an enormous catapult.
How very observant of you, my dear. What we do is to build one of these on the top of Beachy Head.
Yes, sir.
Each chap sits in the center of the elastic. Tractors of vast power. Pull him back further and further, and then let go. Who is Wang? He's in France.
But is it safe? I mean, what about the wallop when they land in France?
I know. I've had some of that French wallop. I should make them stick to the old Van Blanc.
Very well. We'll chance it. Larkin, send this signal. I am putting Damp Roll-On on tomorrow night. All troops assemble, Beachy Head, 23:30 hours.
When's that?
That's 11:30 in English money. Pay attention. Now, as there's been no time to test the Boffin Mark I manifold, I myself have volunteered to be the first man to go on it.
Mark?
Yes, I've got that, and eating iron. So I'm all ready, you see. Now, Professor Boffin and Section Officer Larkin are now on the tractor, which will pull the elastic back.
But, what if the elastic breaks?
It won't. It is the strongest elastic known to man. It was taken from the WAF clothing store. Well, men, 0 hour, chaps. I'll seat myself in the center of the elastic thus, and start the tractor, Professor.
Righto! So, look at that elastic stretch. It can't go back much further. There he goes!
Cool. What a lucky thing I landed on my head. Now to work. Wait a minute. There's somebody lurking in the shadow there. Where's my Sten?
Halt au chauffeur. Qui êtes-vous?
Je suis Professor Boffin. Je surrender. Boffin!
How did you get over here?
Forgot to let go of the elastic.
Then Larkin is here as well.
Yes, and the blooming tractor.
Oh, sir, it worked, it worked. Oh, where exactly have we come down?
Wait a minute, there's a sign up there. Mm-hmm. What does it say? Berlin Opera House.
Berlin Opera House?
Lummy, that waff elastic is stronger than I thought.
Harry Rabinowitz and the Augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close.